Eric, when I was a kid, I remember having a little book about origami and little pieces of paper that I folded. So I have an idea of what origami is, but I didn't know until I had to explore a little bit what digigami or taxigami is. Why don't we start first with how you discovered this art?
Yeah, so for origami, I, like a bunch of other kids, received a origami kit growing up, probably somewhere in middle school, and never really touched it, just kind of sat on the shelf collecting dust as I kind of just played with video games and watched TV.
Yeah, like a lot of kids, yeah.
Right. But then I, when I got to high school, I started, having a little trouble with sleeping. So I would stay up really late, and there was this 24-hour coffee shop downtown, Fourth Coast. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that place. But when it used to be 24 hours and it had the two levels, I would go upstairs because it was really really quiet up there. No one really would be up there late at night.
Yeah.
And I would just, I had the book with me, and I would just kind of sit up there and fold by myself. And from there, I just fell in love with it, fell in love with the peace that it provided me, with just the elegance of the simplicity of it. It was just something that I really took to. I couldn't really draw, really wanted to be able to draw. And so I kind of went a different route. I was a little more tactile and just fell in love with folding paper. But then from there, like I said, I was big into video games and computers, and soon found myself doing photography as well. And once I started really getting into the origami and taking pictures of it, I started doing a lot of photo editing with those photos. And that's where I kind of stumbled into digigami.
So digital manipulation of origami, is that a fair way to break that word up?
Yeah, so I basically will take pictures of the origami pieces that I folded and then kind of digitally put them into either photographs that I've done or digital backgrounds that I've created.
So what about taxigami? What is that?
Yeah, so taxigami, I came across that one when over, was it a couple, while I was working on the art prize project for the last art prize in 2018, I used live moss, and I was trying to develop a process of either using live moss, and I was trying to get into like doing living art and living walls.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a process that was too entailed to kind of keep up with keeping the moss watered and everything. So I went through a process and figured out how to preserve it. And so I had this surplus of preserved moss that I had worked with for the art prize project. And when that was over, I had to find some use for it. And I started adding it into some of the origami pieces I'd done. Before then, I had done some origami elephant heads and framed those. Those are kind of the first step in the taxigami. And then after Art Prize, I started adding in the preserved moss and the dried flowers, and it started looking more and more like taxidermy. So I kind of just came up with the term of taxigami.
Oh, so it's your term.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. Well, origami itself is a really ancient art form, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. Hundreds of years old. They don't even technically know when it started, but they found pictures with little origami figures in it from hundreds of years ago.
Japanese, right?
Yep. And there's even a little bit of debate on that, whether it was Japanese or Chinese. I think most people ascribe to it being from Japan, but there are some people who believe that it might have started in China as well.
Interesting. And you mentioned the art prize. Are you going to, we're going to have art prize again this year, I hear. Are you participating?
Yes, I'm going to try to. I'm going to submit some of my taxigami pieces to art prize this year, and hopefully I'll get a space.
I saw pictures online of your last contribution to Art Prize. Go ahead and describe it. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. So it's an origami bonsai that I created. It's about 3 to 4 feet tall, and the trunk is like a raffia or paper wrapped wire. And I don't even know how many, probably a few hundred continuous strands of wire that I formed into a tree. And then all of the leaves on the trees are pink origami butterflies. And that was kind of, during that time of me creating it, I had a daughter on the way and a daughter at home and my wife. So I was kind of just surrounded by a lot of feminine energy. My first plan was to kind of do a fall tree and have a lot of the oranges and yellows. Mm-hmm. But as I worked on it more and more, I just really wanted to kind of honor the feminine energy in my life. And that kind of created this whole, the pink leaves. It kind of resembles cherry blossoms. Yeah.
When I looked at it, that was my first thought, cherry blossoms. I think mm-hmm. you made the right choice. It would have been gorgeous as an autumn tree, but the pink, it's so delicate looking. It's beautiful.
Oh,
so what are you thinking for the next Art Prize? Do you have an idea in mind?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to do a series of the taxidermy pieces. Probably going to focus on extinct animals or endangered animals.
Okay.
And just kind of to get a little more awareness out about that, just about how the world is kind of, you know, devouring species at a rate that,
yeah, alarming.
Hopefully will get better. But yeah, just to bring some awareness to that and our animal friends, honor that.
You know, and from that, I'm thinking also, I saw some of your logos that you've designed. Social activism seems to make its way into some of your work. You took an active role in the Black Lives Matter protests in Kalamazoo not too long ago. Yes. And I saw one of the logos you designed was for that. You had a T-shirt on with that logo. Talk mm-hmm. about how social activism connects with your art.
Yeah. It hasn't been, I feel like it's kind of always been in my art a little more subtly, mm-hmm. But the past few years have really kind of brought it to the forefront of my art, just to be a little bit more poignant about it.
Yeah.
'Cause I think it's really important to kind of bring that activism aspect to people in different ways. And I just hope that my art can, if not just introduce people to it, because I try to keep my art very light and happy, colorful. But even with that being said, there are aspects of the world that, you know, I don't agree with. And I feel like I could shine some light on. And I feel like art can really help people to think about these things without giving them the actual thing to think, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It allows people to kind of see the ideas and form their own beliefs about it, but still being kind of directed on how they're making at least me feel, yeah, if that makes sense.
And do you sell these T-shirts, or did you just make them for yourself? Or,
well, I had made them for myself, and I kept getting asked about them. Whenever I made them for my family, for me and my wife and kids.
Yeah.
And whenever we would be out with them on, we would always get people asking about them. And so I ended up making a bunch of them, and I have sold quite a few now. Still have a few left, but with the going to the protests and just different activism events.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to have just a something to bring us all together, kind of show some solidarity between some of the organizers and just people who believe in the movement.
And then also, along with these type of projects, and you mentioned earlier too, photography, and your photography is very unique. I would think after a while, you know, an artist really finds their voice when you can look at a piece of art and go, I know who the artist is. And your photography is like that. You can't mix it up with anybody else's. Talk about that. Did that come before? Well, I guess if you did origami as a kid, probably after. And maybe what your artist statement is. What attracts your eye?
Yeah. So I started with the photography. I kind of started, I'd moved down to Atlanta for around 10 years after college. And while I was there, I was hanging out with a lot of people who were doing modeling and kind of art that way, hair and makeup. And I just ended up having a lot of friends in those arenas and started taking photos for some friends who did hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. And then started doing a lot more modeling shots. But I didn't really connect with it. I liked it, but it was just a space that I didn't feel really spoke to me. And not that I didn't really like working with people, but, after doing a lot more, just going out and I did a lot of, photography, like nature photography, and being in Atlanta, there was a real heavy, graffiti art scene there, and ended up doing a lot of graffiti photography, and just really, really fell in love with, just being out in the woods or out on the train tracks, looking for those certain shots that not everybody can see or gets to see. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of pulled myself away from doing the more modeling shots and really dug into the nature photography and the graffiti. And then when I started doing more artistic origami and not just kind of practicing and folding, started creating pieces that are more artistic and taking photos of those, I just really kind of started melding those two aspects together.
Yeah, I could see that in some of your work. I think the most haunting one, when I look through some of your photography that I fell in love with, there's this little girl, and she's got butterfly wings on her, and she's kind of peeking from between the trees. That wouldn't be one of your daughters, would it?
Yes, that's my oldest daughter, yeah.
Oh, I love it. How perfect. Yeah, those are absolutely enchanting.
Yeah, those, and the woods that I took those pictures in, that's Lillian Anderson Arboretum.
Yeah. You know, I wondered, yeah.
Yeah, that's the Magnificent Pines. Mm-hmm. And that row of trees means so much to our family. We hiked there a lot. We actually got married in that aisle there. And we just have so many pictures of our family kind of growing in that same area. I've also done a series of all of the seasons in that area as well. So it's just one of those places that really just really spoke to us, and that's just one of our favorite spots.
I can see why. Yeah. So where can we direct people who want to see more of your work or to be introduced to it?
Yeah. So I do have, a website. It's probably too long for me to say it. I don't know if you'll have it posted.
We will link it on our webpage. Yeah, WMUK.
Okay. Yeah, so there's the website. There's I have an Instagram page that has a lot of my... that's kind of where I started with the origami photography.
Yeah.
And I do have to say that Instagram was probably one of those things that getting into it, I thought, oh, this is just another app that people get too into or isn't really necessary. But that was one of the things that really helped connect me to a lot more artists, really gave me a lot of inspiration and kept me kind of really focused when working on the origami itself and the photography of it. So I'm actually like really grateful for Instagram for being there as I was starting on that journey.
That's where I found you, Eric.
Yep. Yep.
Well, you know, we think of social media as almost a negative feel to it, but it's not. It doesn't have to be. You know, it's
right.
All how you use it.
Exactly.
And you're right. It's a wonderful way for artists to share their work with the world. So we'll link to both of those.
Awesome.
And thank you for giving us some of your time, Eric. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate talking to you.